Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to On Screen Live, everybody. This is our show for Monday, the 17th of November. My name is Andrew Jupin, and I'm alongside three other dudes that embarrassingly fell through a chair at work. We have Eric Ziska.
Oh, my God. You ever have one of those moments where you sit down wrong?
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah.
In what way?
And like the chair just completely collapses out from under you?
Many ways, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, the ball, we've talked about sitting on the balls as you get older, and that's just a nightmare scenario.
We've discussed that at length, yes.
I think in an upcoming episode, we have a good chunk there describing what we all think about possibly sitting on our balls one day.
But yeah, subscribe to the Patreon to get that ad-free.
Please do.
You know, yes. Chris, let's just say I was talking about balls to make you happy.
Okay. Good.
There we go. Now that he's happy, Chris Cabin is here, as is Steven Sadek. We got a lot to get to today, so we're just going to get right into it. We got some industry news to tell you about, something cool and something totally not cool. We will start with something cool. Governor Awards happen. Tom Cruise finally gets his Oscar as the current awards hopefuls turn out in droves to see him get it, man. This, I feel, is like what if he didn't get something for Magnolia, where there was like some real acting afoot. Should've. All the action stuff, this is fine. This is like, hey, man, you've done a lot for the movies. Here's your award. Not for any specific movie.
Sure.
Because it would be weird to give him an Oscar for like Top Gun Maverick or something like that.
Yeah. No. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you're not dead. You're not on death's door. You could act, maybe. You can do it. I think you're good. But you know, right. As long as he gets something, that's fine by me.
You're not going to wait 20 to 30 years to give him the lifetime, right? Because that's the what you would think is going to happen is like just wait until he's really old, until he actually has grays, and then you give him the lifetime achievement, and that's that. This is nice enough. I watched the speech. The speech is good. I thought the speech was really good.
This already happened. This is not part of the upcoming ceremony.
I want him.
Like rappelling off the ceiling to get this fucking
That's
thing.
The thing. No, you're totally right, because you know that if he was honored on the night, something like that could have happened. Yeah. Instead, it was this. Also honored the way was production designer Wynn Thomas, actress and choreographer Debbie Allen, and then, of course, the big one was Dolly Parton. In absentia, she was not there. I heard she's been ill. Received a humanitarian award. That's a lifetime achievement. You give someone like Dolly Parton a lifetime achievement award.
Two things. One, Christopher Cabin, the man has grays. He's just not allowing them to be gray.
Thanks for catching that. On TV for crying out loud. He dyes it all the time or has a wig.
That's what I mean. Yes. And two, this is more of a guest room Oscar. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not the Oscar you have on the mantle. Like this is when you invite people in, I'm like, yes, that's my best supporting actor Oscar. I was a producer on the best picture over there. That's over there. That was my Golden Globes. This is like, oh, yeah, you're staying for the weekend. Yeah, that's the Oscar. That's a picture of me with, I don't know, like George Segal next to it, just because.
Nice.
They gave me that honorary Oscar, and then I got a picture with the corpse of George Segal.
No, from like the mid-80s. Like, just, I like
that. Oh, I see. Oh, so it's the Oscar. It's the Oscar.
Yeah.
And then next to that is a framed photograph of Tom Cruise and George Segal.
I
was going to say, you think Tom Cruise, that's the, oh, Tom Cruise. I have so many questions. First of all, where is that Oscar of yours? I just need to see it. I need
number one.
I just like this fantasy bedroom idea of you doing interior decorating, thinking of what Tom Cruise's guest room would look like. You should actually do that with that room back there.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, make what would Tom do?
Right. I think a number one idea, dude, Steve, you have to get a popcorn machine put in the room. Every guest room in Tom Cruise's house has like a little nice AV setup, popcorn machine right there. You don't even have to leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe a George Segal Just Shoot Me era poster over here.
Yes, of course.
Or cardboard cutout, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the stupid news. Get ready for this donkey shit. Tilly Norwood creator unveils AI-led time travel series for the History Channel. What? Now, this is very important to remember. This is the Dutch only History Channel. This will not be airing here.
Oh, thank God.
But it is like some Dutch historical investigator is going to go back in time thanks to this dumb company's AI.
I was going to say, now the little characters are like, we're going to go back. I am Teddy the Tortoise. We are going to go back in time and learn all about this. Now that person's a star. Now that person should be on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. Tony the Tortoise should be right there like, hey.
This fucking Tilly Norwood, man, I really don't like her. And by the way, I've heard an uncle of mine is actually an AI paramedic, and he told me that they had to pump all the gigabytes out of her stomach.
Ooh, I
all
heard
the
that
AI
too.
Porn
yeah,
she
it's
was
going
doing.
Around. Yeah,
the older boys on the school bus were telling me all about it.
Yes, I was going to say the almost famous remake with Tilly Norwood is going to be horrible.
They
have to do the whole pumping scene. It's going to be.
I can't wait until she ODs on the streets of the grid.
I like the idea of like soft launching this in the Netherlands. Maybe.
Yep, exactly.
And you know what I mean? Like, this is not even like, because, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh, Tilly Norwood. Oh my God, it's the biggest new star, blah, blah, blah. See, they're a fucking Dutch fucking History Channel show, okay? It's not exactly.
And I don't think it's
even
a
secret movie territory.
Yeah, but I don't think she's acting in this. I think it's just like the same company.
Oh, that's even worse.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it's just like this dipshit. Like, let's go. Like, why do you need AI for this? Like, it's so lazy and fucking stupid. But there you go, folks. Any Dutch listeners out there, let us know if you fucking run into this show at any point.
Sort of related. Someone in the chat is saying sad news about Poker Face. I think Natasha's working on this History Channel thing too. Is that right?
She might be. She's still producing. I read that story that she's still producing with Rian Johnson. I don't think Rian Johnson's AI.
No. You guys are conflating things. Eric, yes, she's still doing the AI company. Chris, yes, she's still producing the third season of Poker Face. But the pitch
with
is.
Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage is going to play the Charlie character, which then gets me thinking like this creatively bankrupt idea where like, well, now anyone can play Charlie and this show can just go forever. You know what I mean? Like, sure. I don't know about that.
But, you know, I liked season one and then I, you know, season two came out, then all her, she's making AI movies that now. Did. And I never watched a second of season two because of that.
But David Lynch said it was okay.
Was
her neighbor, you understand.
Beyond the grave.
She said, like, hey, man, do you mind if I put my garbage on the stoop? And by the way, AI is cool, right? He's like, yeah, you could use it. And he went inside.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, like, when she asked him about it, it wasn't like, he gave his approval or whatever. The response was probably like, I don't fucking care what you do. Whatever you create artistically, financially, or otherwise has nothing to do with how I live my life. Stop asking.
And Natasha, the leaves are encroaching my property.
I don't know why you would remake that Steven Spielberg Kubrick movie, but that's fine, Natasha. If that's what you want to do, you should go ahead and make the little boy movie again.
She saw him stumble and pass away and then like Weekend at Bernie's him for a weekend before calling the paramedics.
Oh, Lord. Yes, that's right. Natasha should do AI. AI is the future.
What do you think, standee of Michael Jordan? Why, yes, I do believe he should be able to do that.
Rick, Morty, what do you think? Huh? What do you think about all this?
All right. So there's just some a little bit of infuriating news there around the entertainment biz. Let's see what's going on at the box office. It was a surprising week. This is highest gross. In at five, still chugging along here, is The Black Phone 2 with another $2.7 million here. I watched it. I rented it finally. I thought it was okay. I'll tell you what, though. As much as this is making money, I don't see how you do a three. It seems like you barely got away with a two, which was, you know, entertaining enough. But I don't know how you'd bring the grabber back for more grabbing.
Very easy. Very easy. It makes about as much sense as what happens in number two. Put it on a boat. Big boat. Just put it on a big boat. What? The grabber just happens to be there and is brought back. There's a phone on the boat.
Grabber goes to Manhattan. I'd see that.
That's like grabber in Manhattan. The Black Phone 3, long distance. Come on. It's right there. It's right there.
Actually, yeah, long distance. You're right. We are due for the European vacation sequel from this franchise.
Oh, my God. That's how you get Steven Seagal in Black Phone. That'd be so good.
Mm-hmm. In at number four, Regretting You, still chugging along here. Week four, another $4 million. My God, this has made $83 million around the globe, which is wild. 45 of that. Also here domestically, Paramount bought it, or it's paid for, rather. $30 million was the budget on this guy. So doing good. People like adapting these books, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's always an easy, you know, that's like date night fare kind of a deal, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, totally.
You gotta have a reason to get somebody into a theater, I guess, is the idea.
No, absolutely. No, I don't, you know, begrudge it being there. I think it's a lot of Ghostbusters fans coming out for McKenna Grace.
Of course.
She's not wearing a curly-haired wig in this, this movie.
Or the Black Phone. The Black Phone guy's the guy, I think.
Is that right?
The boy she's kissing.
Yes, it is. Yes.
The Black Phone guy.
Oh, yeah. I like that kid. In at number three, in its second week of the box office, we're going to talk about this bad boy in just a minute, but Predator Badlands in its second week, rocking another $13 million, which, you know, it had some competition this week, so it's a bit of a fall off. 68% it lost this weekend, so not great, but, you know, There was stuff out there competing with it, but the
specifically movies that Arnold was in from the 80s are, you know what I mean? Like it's a real direct one-to-one kind
really,
of competition deal.
Absolutely. And this is, I mean, this is fine. 66 million domestic, 136 global. We'll be getting a lot more of these movies. And that's all I'll say right now, because I want to leave my kvetching for the review here. But yes, speaking of Arnold remakes, that's right, Dick Bachman's The Running Man adapted once again to a really paltry $17 million here.
I couldn't
for Mr. Edgar Wright.
I couldn't get out of the house yesterday for this one. Like, I really just kind of looked at my keys, puttered around. Like, I knew I even kind of wanted to see it just for this. You know what I mean? I could always justify that for myself. I was like, and I had nothing to do yesterday afternoon. I was like, what if I just relaxed and started a new book? And I did that, and that was much better.
Good much for better. You, dude. I mean, honestly, I was ready to go. I'll tell you, like, I love Glenn Powell. I think he's great. I think Josh Brolin's great. I love Colman Domingo. I will always, always, always give Edgar Wright a chance.
Yeah.
You know. But, man, I saw a thing that it totally, like, my balloon was full. I was ready to go. And then someone came along and put a pin in it. I think it was fucking Vulture that had some article. Maybe it wasn't Vulture. I don't know. I can't say that. I don't remember. Yeah. Some media website had something that was like, why isn't Pennywise at the end of The Running Man? And I was like, waiting for POV like you've never believed.
Yeah.
Because what in the fuck are you even? I don't even know what that means. I don't want to know. Embarrassing.
Get your ass to AI. If that's what you want so bad, go to AI and you can go ahead. If it's just you and your little computer and you're just like Running Man with Pennywise at the end, kill Brolin or something.
None of us. Did you see it, Chris? I have not seen Running
Man. I did not
get
to see it.
Well, apparently there's a reference to Derry, Maine in it. So I think that's what this is being discussed. For some reason, we're putting Stephen King stuff in a Bachman, and I don't think you should do that.
Nope. No, I agree. It's bullshit. It's stupid, and I really hope Edgar Wright was super pressured by Paramount to do it, and that was the only reason.
It just didn't look very good. The trailers were not grabbing me. I know they were trying to make it like a bigger thing by making it like he's running around the world. I feel like you kind of made it less because of that. It no longer feels like that TV show, no longer feels like that commentary on television of the 1980s and now.
Yeah, it didn't. And I mean, like, I like Edgar Wright quite a bit. I mean, he's responsible for some of my favorite movies. Like, you know, I rewatched Hot Fuzz before he went to England. I was in my Rafflecopter watching it. You know what I mean? Scott Pilgrim, I think it's fantastic. But I wasn't super into Late Night in Soho, Last Night in Soho.
Not good.
The Soho film.
I guess I'm the dude that dug on that. I like that.
I don't like Edgar Wright. To me, he's British Kevin Smith. I like three of his comedies. The rest of his output, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah. It's a reasonable compare. I think he's got it in him for great movies. I think Scott Pilgrim is a great movie, too.
I think it's bad.
I know you.
I'm a big Scott Pilgrim head. And I think I even really like Baby Driver, even though all the stuff with the lead, that's not great.
Murderer's Row of bad people.
All the stuff with the lead, all the stuff with the villain. There's a couple people in that movie that are fucking career landmines.
I forgot Baby was doing some bad stuff, too.
Yes, he was.
Is he now in Park?
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
He's got a new show coming out or something.
They have a new show coming out. They gave a second season to Tokyo Vice. Like, nothing. It didn't really derail anything. The only thing it did derail for sure was, I think, a lot less people went to see West Side Story. I think that was because it came out right before that game.
Right. Ansel Elgort.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't care for West Side Story. I'm the alone in that.
I did not see it.
It's fine. I don't know that I'll ever watch it again. All right.
People were asking what book I was reading. It's The Dream Hotel by Leila Lalami. Pretty cool dystopian sci-fi.
Pervert stuff, fiction. Dude?
No, literary fiction.
Yeah.
So,
it's a good book. It's a change up for you.
you finally put down that copy of Mein Kampf.
Lord almighty.
It's a joke.
Read it a couple of times. A couple of Easter eggs you didn't get the first time around.
Lord.
I love that succession joke.
But yeah, speaking of... let me put it this way. I'll watch The Running Man, directed by Edgar Wright, three times before I watch Now You See Me... Now You Don't, which, my God, what are we doing, America? $21.3 million for the third entry in the Jesse Eisenberg and Friends Magician Thief franchise?
I didn't know this came out. I didn't see a single trailer for it. How is it doing critically? Do people seem to like this one?
I don't know.
This franchise, at least from my, I'm a lurker on Twitter these days, just from what I'm seeing, there's a big irony, fun time at the movies with these movies. Like, oh, they're so stupid, they're fun, and I can't. I watched the first one, it was miserable.
It's awful. Yes. According to Rotten Tomatoes, 59% on the critic side of things, and then, indeed, 81% on the... fan audience side of things.
Well, you know, a lot of people in the chat here seem to be saying this movie sucks. I mean, would this be something for January, perhaps?
I could see that. Yeah,
now you see me in January.
This franchise is such a fucking weird thing. I mean, it's even used as a really great joke on the studio when Dave Franco is like wasted and he's running around and they go to Vegas with him for like the upfront presentations or whatever towards the back half of the season. And he's like spending all this money. He's going crazy. He's wasted. He's like, I got all this fucking money from those magician movies.
That's good.
I only saw that first one. And it's like, there's like a twist at the end of that movie that I was like, oh, so this wasn't like a magic trick, whatever. It's not a twist. You just like lied to the audience the whole time.
The entire time.
Or withheld information under the guise of it like being executed as a twist, which it's just not. And that just rubbed me the wrong way. Also, like using magic to steal things.
No.
It's like smart to me.
I mean, it's interesting idea that like in like robbery and thievery, like, you can use distractions, but like, making that connection is a bit much. And like, I get it. There's a lot of people out there who like magic. I get it. I really don't. I don't get it. But like, they do like it. And as I think I'm So Rachel in the chat just pointed out, it did crazy overseas. It did way better overseas. And I can see that being like just one of those things like, oh, Jesse, this cast, I got to go see it. And they're throwing things and there's a big fucking who cares thing. Great.
Did Ruffalo come back for this one or no?
Maybe he's the at the end. Maybe he comes up.
That's a great question. I don't know.
Because he was in the second one, I believe, because the twist has to do with him in the first one.
He's hunting them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's hunting them, but for reasons you don't think.
He is back as Dylan Rhodes, and now you see me now.
Great.
Very exciting.
Yeah, this was looking at 76 globally. So, yeah, I mean, that's a bunch of countries, not just one. So, yeah. And the PLFs, the premium large format screens, were 20% of its domestic gross with no IMAX, because that was all Running Man.
Do you think,
you
think Morgan Freeman in this movie is just like Truvasic, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, wait, what am I doing? Is this not a is this not a medicine commercial that I'm checking your prostate or what
I
have
love
you?
That medicine commercial. I never expected to be like having my morning coffee hearing Morgan Freeman say, and side effects include diarrhea.
Get busy living and get busy shitting, ladies and gentlemen.
Diarrhea, sudden death, you know, all those good ones.
Now that's more like it, Mr. Provasic, or whatever the fuck.
Diarrhea, cha-cha-cha. Diarrhea, cha-cha-cha.
Man, so it appears as if I'm So Rachel went to the theater to see this movie. She's saying Ruffalo appears as a hologram only at the end of the movie.
No!
Whoa, that's amazing. Yeah. Like Darth Maul.
Ruffogram, like Darth Maul.
Maybe you got some spider legs. That's right, I got spider legs this time or whatever. That's
my they gave me spider legs to get on the task force. elsewhere, really quickly, because last OSL, we mentioned it, then none of us saw it, and no one else really did either, but the Oz Perkins dropped.
I was curious about this, yeah.
It came in seventh, 2.5 million, the worst opening for an Oz Perkins movie with Neon. This is also the second horror tank in a row for Neon after something called Shelby Oaks, which I was completely unaware of when it came out.
That's directed by a YouTuber, I believe.
Oh,
that's cool.
Guy? Is that the Backrooms guy?
Or Bathrooms guy?
Backrooms. There's a YouTube short of it's like a horror short where you're in these back rooms and it's very spooky and everybody really liked it when it came out and he got a directing, but I think they're just making a bigger version of the back rooms, but for some reason I thought this was him as well.
I don't know his filmography, his YouTube thumbnail filmography to answer that, but was Keeper wide or was it small?
It was wide, I believe. Let me get a screen count for you, Keeper, but I'm pretty sure it was wide.
In terms of movies that I would have liked to have seen this week, I think Keeper would have been even higher than Running Man because it looked kind of cool enough. You know what I mean? It's up my alley-ish, but I was kind of like, I might just wait for streaming in a couple of weeks. It was that I'm fine with, you know?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with it. I mean, it's crazy. Like, they are now... Neon is already in production with Oz Perkins, like, on his next movie. And part of me is like, you know, I mean, like, we've talked about it before, but, like, I thought Long Legs was pretty good. I really liked The Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we take a break? Why don't we let these things breathe a little bit? Why don't you take like a year to make the next movie? Kind of
a great
deal,
question.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of nuts how fast these are coming out. These Perkins joints, man. Like, I mean, The Monkey was like 6 months after Long Legs, and this was 6 months after that. Like, it's just been
pretty much
nonstop.
Yeah. Eric, to answer your question, Eric, it was on 1,950 screens. So yeah,
that's pretty
big,
wide.
Nice wide release. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just wanted to put that out there, in the world of Oz Perkins. He's not box office bulletproof. It happens. But all these people were like, some article was like, it's time for Neon to break up with Oz Perkins. No. I was like, okay,
just maybe just take some time. It's, you know what I mean? It makes sense. Yeah. If a director makes you money and you like what he's doing, to kind of stay in that biz, you know what I mean? But at the same time, maybe not every 15 weeks.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of 15, boy, oh boy, Steve Sadek, that's the magic number, man. Because just in a few weeks, we're going to be at the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York for our 15th anniversary show, all on Total Recall Live. It's going to be great. It's going to be live. We're talking Total Recall. We might have some fun in store, but it's going to be a live show mixed with probably some reminiscing over the last 15 years.
Oh, no, very nice. Yeah. It's going to be so fun. I mean, the Arnold impression is going to be out. The Ace, you're going to have so much fun at this show. We love the Bell House. You got to come out.
It's kind of too bad we already did an episode on his Running Man. It would have been perfect synergy.
I guess we could always do a redux at some point.
I had a, this is probably too much information, but I had a stress dream about this last night that we were about to go on stage and I couldn't find my shoes or my socks that I had to go on barefoot. And I was nervous because everyone could see my weird feet.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
And you know what they're going to do? All the cameras come out, all the iPhones come out, and suddenly you're on like all the fucking feet sites.
Exactly.
Guys are printing.
Show off those arches, baby. Get them out there. if you're going to do it, you got to give these people what they want.
Mm. Guys are printing it out, pictures of your feet, and they're blasting on it and then posting that on the internet.
Dude, they're like, you know, especially on like fuckahobbit.net. You look at them hobbit feet you got there. Oh, yeah.
This is not an ad for fuckahobbit.net.
No, it's not an ad.
Are you sure?
It is an ad for our 15th anniversary show, December 6th at the Saturday night, just in a few weeks from now. At the Bell House. Tickets are on sale. WHMpodcast.com is where you can find him. It's going to be a hell of a time. Tickets are going fast. We want you to be there. Don't get sold out, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on out, people. Let's do it.
Yes. I might wear shoes to this one. I might. I probably
I want to see your pretty little faces. Come on out.
I think maybe I'll bring like a backup pair of tennis shoes just in case Steve's stress dream does come true. Okay. We got something to cover up those things.
Garbage bags.
Oh yeah, garbage bag would be good. I bet the venue has, you know, just empty out the beers, the open beers that are
there you go.
Tie that around your feet.
Oh man. Well, you know, that's movies that are out, of course, but the cool thing about movies is there's always more on the way. Let's take a look at what's coming up in a segment we like to call trailer segment. Now, Chris Cabin, you got this first piece of info to us yesterday. You want to set this one up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. SS Raj, baby. He's back. My man's back. And this is what I've been hearing separate things. I don't know if it's called Globetrotter or if it's called how have you been saying this, Andrew?
Varanasi, and this is we will be watching the trailer from the official like channel for this movie, which is indeed Varanasi the movie or something like that. So and I think the only thing is this addition of to the world at the end of it is like the subtitle that I've seen used some places, used other places. We should say, so here's the interesting thing about this, folks, and both this and the other trailer, the links to what we'll be watching here, you can watch along with us. The links are in the episode description below. This thing, it's like a sort of lengthier little teaser for this movie, not a full-on trailer. It's just basically 3.5 minutes of them going, look how fucking cool this is gonna be. And I gotta tell you, this is a way you get people psyched up for a trailer, folks. So we have it here. Yes, Varanasi movie is the channel. So
yes, and we're watching it separately because the industry doesn't want people to know about their movies. So you could watch it along with us with the link below.
The theaters are doing great, Eric. Right. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about
it. I'm just this is the new Access Hollywood. What are we doing? This is Access Hollywood.
Extra.
Those cretins get to play trailers, but not me. Well, don't like it.
All right. Here we go. So Varanasi or Varanasi to the world, whichever you want to call it right now. This is a little demo reel here. We're going to take a look at all of it right now. 3, 2, 1, go. Now, this first part here, it's not a trailer before the trailer. I have watched this already. This is like really long and quiet title cards here, so we're not missing anything.
Nice.
Showing business.
Yes, I like knowing things. I like knowing every company here from the director of RRR. Leave that on for a while so I know what's happening in the world.
Yes, I like from the director. I'm not from the guys who brought you. Yes. Here come the guys are back.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, just look at the visuals here, man. It's I did see a thing. It will be released in IMAX. Should have mentioned this is coming out summer of 27.
Yes, I'll be there very early on.
Seems like an asteroid was around. Now we got this ice shelf here in Antarctica looking
good.
What's below it? What's below it? That's
pretty cool. Oh, man. Look at this.
Are we talking ancient aliens?
Is Pandora the Na'vi down here?
I don't know. But here's a cool ship frozen in ice, which is awesome. Yeah, it's like time hopping, I guess, is the idea, too. Yes. Like going all over the world, but also hopping through time.
Little tree of life.
Yep.
Is Tilly Norwood going to be hopping through time with us?
I hope not.
I don't think so, from what I've heard. No, I don't think
I hope if she hops through time, these fucking cool hippos get her. Look at these hungry motherfuckers. Oh, look at that. Oh, God. Oh, dude.
Wow, this is a
big-ass hippo.
In a weird god. Going to shit him out at some point.
Look at this. Yeah. I didn't know hippos had all this inside them. This is crazy. Oh, no. Well, show me more of that. No. Fuck you, teaser. No. Oh. And it just keeps going. Like, this is just them, like, look how fucking cool this movie's going to be.
Yeah. I'm liking the music. Cool.
Yep.
I hope there's more movement in these. Because right now, this is reading a little The Flash to me, you know?
Oh, I can see that.
Remember that part in the film The Flash?
I do. I guarantee you, without seeing any of this movie, it'll look way better.
We're having a little fun.
Look at this. Look at it. It's a stack of people holding this one dude with the arrow, and he's trying to fucking shoot this big motherfucker. Look at this.
Oh, that stack of people sadly reminds me of World War Z.
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
Not great.
Oh,
I don't even want to know what's going on there.
Oh, shit. Nero's going to destroy the planet.
Music is always great.
Here's our hero.
Obviously.
Yeah, the music is very good. We got a smoky trident.
And I think this is the actor Mahesh Babu right here, who I think is the titular Varanasi, I believe, if I read the description right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I don't think she's in this at all, but Priyanka Chopra Jonas is another lead here. There was they had an image of her, like a screenshot from another story or something like that. She looks like she's doing cool shit in the movie. Hell yeah, man. Just let's fucking do it.
The lady in red that's falling in the hippo stomach, that's her, I believe.
Was that her? Okay.
The lady in the hippo stomach.
That's a weird kid's book, dude.
You know, RRR is bought a ticket. You know, that's a ticket you're buying because of RRR, which is totally right.
Oh, yeah.
Or, I mean, and if anybody has seen Bahubali, it's fucking great. It's so good.
Is this you and your devious internet behavior, or can you get these movies in legitimate places?
This has been on fucking Netflix. This is like
is that right?
Iga, the other one that's really good, where
that's the Fly one or something.
That's the Fly one. The Fly one is incredible. The Fly one is so fucking good. But Bahubali is much more in the register of RRR. Fans of that, they will like both those movies quite a bit. Iga is a weird fucking movie, but it's great. I love it quite a bit.
Man, I'm pumped. So that's, you know, something to keep me on this rock for a few more years at least.
Please.
Oh no, I'm just kidding. Now the other thing, it's a quicker thing. It's coming to Amazon December 1st. So I wanted to talk about it really quickly. It's called The Merchants of Joy. Boy. And I wanted to share this because we are all big fans of look at those fucking people kinds of documentaries.
Oh no, is this JOY? Merchant of JOY?
No. JOY. This is about the rugged world of the people around New York City that sell Christmas trees during the holiday season.
Ooh. Okay. That's okay.
Yeah. So it's probably a 90-ish something minute movie chock full of real characters kind of a deal. Let's see, we got this pulled up here again. This is down in the show information, folks, if you're watching along at home. Okay, here we go. The Merchants of Joy, new documentary coming out 12/1 on Amazon. 3, 2, 1, go.
Every place has their own Christmas
experience. Yep,
I got the spinny wheel. No
place like oh, did you?
Yeah, I gotta refresh it, but it's all right. Continue.
Three seasons starts now.
For the five families of Christmas. The five families of Christmas.
All right.
Right.
Somebody gonna get whacked for Christmas? That guy just kind of got whacked. Actually, yeah.
Dude, wait. They talk about someone gets killed at some point.
Because of Christmas shenanigans?
Wait, listen. It's coming.
It's pretty difficult for anybody to compete with me.
You can't trust anybody in business, but I play the whip.
Oh, yeah, you do.
We used to pay off the mafia.
There was a competitor murdered.
There was a competitor murdered.
He looks like Renfair a little bit, I got.
Yeah, yep. High production value.
You have to make all of your money in 5 weeks.
You do.
It is wild. I don't know, you know, folks who don't live in the city, I don't know if you ever experience, like, when these people take over town, selling their Christmas trees. They take over the sidewalks, you know.
Kind of a huge bummer this year. We love getting a real tree every year, but we got a kitten. Can't trust it. Cannot trust
it. Yeah. Because of the cats, I switched to a fake tree, and I haven't gone back.
Yeah, now, you can't have real because if they eat the needles or something, they get sick.
My last cat,
I don't know if I'm going to have even a fake tree with a son of a bitch. It's just running riot over my life. So we're going to see what's going to be.
I got two kittens last year, so I didn't have a tree at all last year. But my old cat used to just constantly drink the water.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My older cat leaves the tree alone. Like, he's been fine. The other one that passed away was also fine with it. But this guy... We'll see next year about a Christmas. There might be like a small Charlie Brown guy in the highest point of the house, possibly.
Gotcha.
That looks amazing, by the way. I'm watching that, and I'm watching the Merchants of JOI right now. Actually, let me just
move my hands. Oh, nice.
Yeah, the Merchants of JOI. It's one scene. It's 61 minutes long, which is an annoying length.
It's not a lot. Not a good camera angle. It's just one. Just and then.
Center, you know, microphone. That's it.
And just tell me what to do for like an hour. That's a lot.
So we'll see. It reminds me, maybe someone in the chat will have the name. If you're looking for another Christmas Weirdos doc that is partially, I think, at least linked to New York City. I don't think it's entirely set here. There's a doc about dudes that are like crate diggers at record stores for like weirdo Christmas records and stuff. Dude, I watched that and it was a transformative experience because now like I'm that dude. Like, there's a section of my LP and vinyl collection that's just weird fucking stuff thanks to that movie. I think that was on Hulu, if I remember correctly, but that's another holiday weirdos documentary.
Andrew, you got to go to the WFMU record fair. They do it every year. It's a huge they rent out a space.
So
it's
cool.
There's like acres of records.
And is that right?
And the weirdest creeps selling them. I was there with my wife. I was a huge record collector. I got some VHS tapes, and this dude was like, "Hey, this one's—it's got Ellen Burstyn's only nude scene in it. Do you work with it?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely, no problem." Nice.
This sounds like that scene in 8mm where they're going around.
The smutmongers farmers market that he goes to. Yes.
Yeah, but it was just in November, but you should definitely, I'll remind you next time around.
Oh, for sure.
It's super fun.
Do I have to pretend I listen to WFMU?
No.
Nice. No, I will totally check that out though. That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Where do they do it? Is it in Jersey?
No, it's in New York. It's like,
oh, is that right?
3rd Street, like over there, like kind of like almost pseudo fashion district-y kind of place there.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. That's fucking great. But I was like, oh, it's the new Christmas Weirdos documentary. So there you go, folks. The Merchants of Joy. All right. Let's talk about it. I feel there's going to be some interesting stuff to be said here. Predator Badlands. Huge movie. Some may say, not me, that it's the best Predator movie.
What?
Yeah, no. I've been seeing that a little bit. And look, it's a fun adventure, folks, but I'm just going to get right to it. I will describe my problem with this movie in one word: bloodless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, the Predator is a franchise for adults, and I think it's incredibly just a little bit cynical to have this, like, if it's PG-13, we'll get the kids in for the blood and there's a fun robot now and a little cute thing. Like, it's a fun adventure. I really enjoyed all the Monstar effects. I thought the dude who played the Punisher was great. Or the Punisher, my God, the Predator. Punisher versus Predator. I'm sure that was a comic a few people read in the 90s.
Definitely.
But yeah, it's just like the whole notion of it's this synth army of security guards that's fighting them, which like, yeah, he's killing them coolly, but they all have the white milk blood from Alien. Big bummer.
To be fair, you do have predator blood. I know that's not exactly the same thing. And then, yes, you got the Alien universe cum blood, but not enough. Honestly, when they're lighting up all these synths during part of this movie, it should have been a white Christmas, if you know what I mean. I want to see that shit everywhere.
No, I'm totally like, you're totally right. Like, he should have been fucking covered in it. And...
yeah, but you know, this is now Disney's Predators movies, so it does get a little too Mandalorian and Grogu with the cuteness of the creatures. I mean, but the creature designs are good.
Yes,
I like the expansiveness of the world. It seems like they really cared about how everything looked, unlike Predators, Nimrod Atal's Predators from 2010, which was shot in Robert Rodriguez's backyard and looks terrible, and everything's ill-defined. This, you could actually tell they thought about these designs, and it shows, you know.
Yeah, I'm with both of you. Yeah, this is like, remember when Mortal Kombat came out on Super Nintendo? I think originally it was bloodless, and they changed the blood to sweat. Remember that?
Yeah, it was like that's kind of sweat and spit and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're kind of talking about here. That's what I kind of come to Predator for, is for the gore and the intense, because there's so few like action intense sci-fi movies. You know what I mean? Like, especially nowadays, as everything's moving towards PG-13, it's kind of a bummer to see the Predator go over to that side of the street. I did think Elle Fanning was great. I think, you know, the movie,
love her.
She's great as, you know, both characters. You know what I mean? Like, it's a character that could be obviously really annoying, you know what I mean? And like, she's not the problem with the movie at all. And I think that the dude playing the Predator and the Predator mom dad stuff is kind of cool. I just think, yeah, it's that. And what bothered me more was Eric's point, is the cute animal guy, and like that we're really selling some toys here. And I just, that bugged me even more than like the bloodless synth battle at the end. But although that is bothersome as well. And also, like, they kept taking the foot off the gas with like, is this big monster a huge nightmare monster that we need to kill, or is it just kind of cute? And you know,
absolutely.
So it's like, it's fine, you know, like I gave it 3.5. I enjoyed my time with it, but it's definitely nowhere near the heights of this franchise. I think Prey is much better as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, Prey just happened and I'm just like, oh, that's exactly what the sequel should look like after 2. Like, that's where you should have gone with this. And like, I give the Predator some points for being nasty. It's a really nasty movie.
Yes.
When you go back to it, but all that shit with the like, well, what happened with the first one? Well, they had a bunch of group of guys and like, you're like, well, let's have Thomas Jane do this thing. That stuff was so annoying with Keegan and all that shit was so, and it made the movie way longer. This one, at least it feels a little bit more focused. It feels like it is for a little while, just Elle Fanning and the Predator, which would have been perfect, but they had to do this. I really like the evil Elle Fanning. I think she's great.
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of at the end, I'm like, a lot of this is looking like aliens, like this, this, the fights and all that. I'm like, that's your cousin. You don't bring your cousin shit to your house. You don't do that. Come on, man. don't be playing that game. It's fine the way it is. And like, to me, it really did become an Elle Fanning showcase, and she knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
I do think, to your point, Chris, I think that is clearly in the offing, that we're like, maybe we'll do Alien versus Predator a little bit better than last time. And they probably will. Cause again, like, I think this is a very competent and fun adventure, but it just feels a little less trunky, predatory than I'd like.
It's also very severely setting up a sequel in a way that the other Predator movies, I don't think, really did.
No, and also it's a weird sequel setup because it's kind of like they end the movie a little bit on like an Al Bundy joke.
They absolutely do.
Because it's kind of just like the ship's coming up and it's like, what's going on? Dun, 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 dun. And he's like, it's my mother. And I was like, oh, dude, if this Predator runs out with a fucking rolling pin and like glasses with the chain around her, I was like, what are you doing?
That t-shirt should be, my mom's a xenomorph, my dad's a Predator, and I'm in therapy.
True.
We've been giving him some props, and we have not said his name, so I just want to make sure we get it on the record here. Demetrius Schuster Koloa Matangi is the guy who played the Predator in this movie. Did a great job, I think.
Yeah, and that's did a totally great too, job. A movie like this, I should hate the new Predator lore, and I should hate the language, and but I don't, honestly. Like, the lore stuff was one of the more appealing parts to me. Like, I don't mind pulling that curtain back in the fucking sixth movie. Well, let's figure out how these guys communicate what the society looks like. I think it's reasonable.
Yeah.
And it's actually well done. Trachtenberg really kind of cares about this franchise. I just think the current landscape and the Disney-ness of it all is a handcuff that is, you can feel on him. You know?
Yeah. Big time. Absolutely. Big time. All this to say, I'll be there for the next one. Yeah. But I don't know. Just show me some dude gets shot and his fucking chest blows out. A real person, or, you please.
Know, if we're going to do, like, you know, there's always, like, it's the unedited version on Blu-ray or whatever. Give me, like, a nasty version, like, that I can enjoy. You put out this one in theaters. 6 months later, you release the nasty version.
Ooh, the dad cut. The Predator cut.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting, right? There's things like if a theater is playing like a Studio Ghibli movie, generally you'll see this more like an independent theater. But I do think some chains, when they do some of the Ghibli stuff, also do this. You will have, like, in the same day on the same screen, like, here's like the English language dub, you know, for the kids and people that don't want to do subtitles. But then we will also, on that same day, one of those showtimes will be a subtitled version. You could do that where it's like, it's just like someone put the code in on Mortal Kombat for the blood. And it's like those early in the day screenings, like, those are, you know, you want your kids to come to your PG-13 action sci-fi movie. There's your milk blood and whatever. But after fucking 5 o'clock, we get the daddy's home cut.
Nice.
And it's just, it's an actual Predator movie and not a Predator movie with training wheels on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There it is. There's my fucking rant.
That's how you reinvigorate this theater going experience, folks. You do the daddy cut on all of these. Regretting you, daddy cut. It's dirty and weird. Mm-hmm. Now you see me three, daddy cut. Oh my God. He's going to make something appear you'd rather he didn't.
Hey, speaking of weird, let's get into it here as we got to close out the hour. The Chair Company with Tim Robinson. Just about to finish up its first season on Max.
So good.
Good God, is it fucking hilarious.
Very, very funny.
I like the intrigue of it. I think that's something that really adds a spice to the Tim Robinson experience that we've been going through these last couple of years. That's what I think differentiates it both from I Think You Should Leave and Friendship, which are both, I think, interesting versions of that. But I'm on, I think, the fourth episode. And the only thing I can even say, I love the show, but I'm like, in one or two more projects, I want to see a different thing from Robinson. Doesn't even have to be a long-term thing. Doesn't have to be like a thing that he does. This is the new version of him. He can go back to this, of course, but I would like to see something like him just doing like in like a romantic comedy, he's the stepdad or something like that. Yeah. Something easy and quick that he can just add flavor to something. I would like to see that from him.
I really think this is the funniest show I've watched in a little while. We went through everything this weekend. So
question, was there an episode last night?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not see that because I watched Avatar 2 and my TV died. So
there you go.
I have to deal with.
there was a new one. Yeah,
it's so fucking funny. Like, these, the worst pillow in town is my little header here. Like, these little lines, the way that what I like about his stuff, the intrigue in this is very good. But the what I like about his stuff, like, it's so obvious to do an office comedy where, you know, Tim Robinson's the wackadoo dude in the office, and everyone's like, why is that guy so gosh darn wacky? Everyone in the world is insane, and that tracks. This is more an I Think You Should Leave kind of universe than I think than Friendship was. Like, everybody is off. Like, wheelbarrow guy is fucking amazing. The janitor with the wheelbarrow, the inside wheelbarrow, outside wheelbarrow. Lou Diamond Phillips is a very like awkward and weird boss. Like, it's
dude,
just,
when Lou Diamond Phillips fucking, I think it's in the third episode where he's like Tim Robinson kind of like. leans back. It's when he's fighting about like there shouldn't be football presence in the mall or whatever. And then he leans against the wall and he's like Lou Diamond Phillips is like, oh, well, actually, while you were gone, Jim actually gave an impassioned speech about why there should be football. So we've settled it. Also, don't lean. This is an office or whatever. And it's just this weird, like, just totally calling him out. God, it's great.
Oh, and Jim Downey is terrific. He's having a great year.
Oh, man.
Oh, such my a good year God. Dude, him with those bubbles, man. It is just, and it's that, you're right, Steve. It's that kind of thing where it's like, everyone in this office, it could easily be like an extra in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You know what I mean? Like, there's just this nuttiness to it. I have to say, I really do like Lake Bell as the put upon Tim Robinson wife in this project. She's really great, but also the kid's really good. I like when he has the moment with the kid about when he catches him drinking the beers, like behind, and the way the kid like describes why he likes drinking is this really like dangerous alcoholic's excuse for drinking, and it's so fucking funny. Oh my god.
But I think, just to go back to what you were saying, Chris, and I do think there's something different here. He's very sweet with the kids, and that's very like him and Sophia Lillis as his daughter, I think. And maybe you didn't get to that episode, like when they really have kind of some heart to hearts, it's nice, like, you know what I mean? And like her shitty girlfriend or fiance, and he's just and he just
that
has
girl's
to keep
funny.
Being, she's amazing. And he just has to be like, you sure you want to be with her? Because like, it's when they're playing Twister and she's like, I told you I couldn't do Yellowfoot left. I told you this.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is awesome. And but it's weird, like the moments where he is able to hit as a parent, not just with the kids though, because I think it's that same episode, because the whole thing is the daughter and the fiance, they want to get married. At like a haunted house or something. And like her parents, not Tim Robinson's daughter, but the other girl's parents are pissed off about that. So they're like, hey, Tim, like, you know, work your magic on the father and, you know, whatever. And he has this really great, like, and we just love our daughters, right? And we just want the best. And like, he charms this guy into agreeing to let the haunted house wedding happen.
So well, funny. It feels like a piece of dialogue that you would have taken like from the Father of the Bride part two. Yep. and just give it Tim Robinson and let him hit the notes that Martin wouldn't hit and put the music a little weird, and it makes it just unnerved. There's like this weird undertone to everything, and it's not even the people, it's every way that you talk, it's everything. It really does, it strikes me every time I watch it.
And also that Mike Santini character now like started as like a adversary and is now like, you know, like the co-lead of the show. He is really a standout. Joseph Tudisco, I think it's pronounced. I don't know.
Yeah.
His career was sort of a lot of TV stuff, but man, is he great in this.
I was genuinely surprised he only played Trucker on an episode of The Sopranos.
Well, this is like, I think you should leave thing to him and Zach Kanan. Like, they find these people who are actors that feel like non-actors, but are actors and could hit these notes. Like, I think of that, the professor, and I think you should leave sketch with the hamburger. Like, I'm going to eat your book. I'm joking. Yeah. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
And like, that guy's amazing. Like, that guy should have his own show, but they find these people from relative obscurity and they're really fantastic.
It's really genius how they pull their casting. I think of like Biff Whiff, rest in peace, Shirt Brother. You know, he was great too. So it is a big recommend all around. I got to finish. I got to say, I was doing some late night watching, and it's great because every episode is just, it's like 33 minutes, you're in and you're out, which is fine. I nodded off on Saturday night watching, as in like episode 3. I woke up, and on my TV is Tim Robinson with a flashlight screaming at the top of his lungs. And I was like, what's going on? Oh my God. I was like freaked out. I had autoplayed through all of the episodes. And folks, this tells you how long I will just sleep in a chair in my house in the middle of the night. I woke up, it was like halfway through Friendship was what was on the TV. And it was when he's in the sewer looking for Kate Mara and he's screaming. I was like, what is he doing in this episode? And then I was like, no, this is a movie you saw twice. But that is nothing except for me greening out late at night watching stuff. I think it's amazing. It's so funny. Big recommend all around, folks. So there you go. We're going to wrap it up. Speaking of big weeks, though, y'all, it's a big week here for us, of course, because tomorrow We Love Movies Month is continuing. We're really excited for this one because guess what, y'all, all the naysayers out there that don't care for live episodes, This Hellraiser live episode sounds fantastic. It is a real, I'm not going to toot our own horn too much, but it is a real top of our game show, folks. You don't want to miss it. It's very funny. You can get it, of course, wherever you get pods, or of course, commercial free on that Patreon, patreon.com/wehatemovies. We're also bit of an Oxford week here. Is that right, Mr. Sisko? What's coming out on Thursday?
Yes. On Thursday, we were releasing the Gleep Glossary, which was actually recorded live in front of a live audience for the first time, not a fake audience like I used to do. It was thrilling, honestly. It's about an hour long. It's a lot of fun. It was a sold out show. I couldn't believe enough people in England liked us to come out to see Darth Vader Gleep Glossary. So that was it was a lot. Just you gotta hear it. It's what we recorded right before Hellraiser, so
yes,
you got that whole evening is being released. And then we're also releasing a supplemental Gleep Glossary for if you really hate live episodes because you're deranged. We're doing an episode on a blaster rifle.
Yeah.
Just to WHM, see if it can be done.
Guns and ammo.
Woo! That's right. The Gleep Gunnery will also be available on Thursday.
And we should say it's a little bit of like a sweeps month kind of thing. So that live Vader, that's also free feed. So if you're like Gleep Glossary curious, here's a great show that you can check out. But yes, to your point, the release of these should be flipped so that in the Hellraiser episode, when you hear Chris say, I just learned that Darth Vader is a simp, that's because he learned that hours before on the episode you will listen to on Thursday. So there's that. And then Friday, really stoked about this, folks. Peep Felipe's art with this shit. As a tradition has become here with We Love Movies Month, we always turn some of these supplemental shows over to motion pictures as well when we usually cover television kind of things. And in the case of The Nexus, we're talking Undiscovered Country.
Amazing.
And this is just us as characters from the film. It's so fucking funny.
It's a real fun episode. It's a great movie, by the way. If you haven't watched it all week, get your ass to watch. Even if you're like, oh, I didn't watch five, I don't remember. You don't have to watch all of them. Just watch this sixth movie.
And if you're new to like the Patreon stuff, you're thinking, oh, they're doing Undiscovered Country, the movie on the Patreon. That's probably shorter than the episodes that are released on the free feed. Wrong. No, it's 2 hours long. So enjoy.
It's a whole episode. Basically a WLM. Yeah, the Nexus sticker slapped over it. But that is going to do it for this week's On Screen Live, folks. We'll be back sometime in December. Stay tuned to all the socials and subscribe to this channel to find out just when that's going to happen. But until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Tadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Have a great week, y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye.